Okay, you can rise virtually. That's all right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, and welcome to the Ninth Circuit for our sitting, our virtual sitting in Seattle. I'm not sure how many people are actually in Seattle. I know that the three judges are in Las Vegas, in Fairbanks, and in Berkeley. The first of the two argued cases this morning is Schoenberg versus FBI, and we've got it set for 30 minutes per side. When you're ready, counsel.
Is Schoenberg 30 minutes per side?
Oh, I'm sorry, 30 minutes total. I'm misreading. 15 minutes per side. I misspoke. So when you're ready, counsel, for 15 minutes per side.
Your Honor, can I please the court? My name is Jody Newberry with the law firm of Murphy Rosen. I'm representing the appellant, Randy Schoenberg. With regard, he is the FOIA requester who is seeking the disclosure of the FBI supervisory special agent's name in this matter with regard to the
Can
search
warrant. Can you talk warrant. Louder? It's hard to hear.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor. With regard to the search warrant related to Hillary Clinton that took place in October 2016. With the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, keep your eye on the clock. Do you have a clock that you can see?
I can see the clock, Your Honor.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll try to help, but keep your eye on the clock.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to make 2 points today. The first is the appellant here met the standard to conclude that a reasonable person would find that the supervisory special agent might have engaged in misconduct and most likely did engage in misconduct in seeking this search warrant on the eve of a presidential election. And the second point I will address is that public interest, which is overwhelming here, given this search warrant, this pretextual search warrant that was sought and obtained within days of the presidential election. As an initial matter,
what's the evidence for the wrongdoing?
The evidence for the wrongdoing is set forth, for the most part, in the Inspector General report, which is littered with statements from witnesses, all of whom agree and concede that there was no likelihood of evidence that was going to lead to a crime or prosecution in this case. And virtually every witness statement in the Inspector General report made that same comment. They didn't believe there was evidence of a crime to be found on Anthony Weiner's laptop.
Is there any evidence of a crime or improper activity by the particular FBI agent whose identity you are seeking?
Well, we do know, Your Honor, that he agreed to, he was asked by his supervisor whether they should proceed with the search warrant, and he agreed to it, and he had an opportunity to object. And in this case, under Favish, the appellant needs to show that there might have been impropriety, and based on the search warrant application itself and compared to the statements that are in the Inspector General report, it is clear that there was at least a possibility that there was wrongdoing, but we clearly met the standard of there might have been impropriety.
My problem with that argument is in part that he was really low down on the ladder. There were a lot of people above him who might be charged with wrongdoing, if indeed there was wrongdoing. Who wanted that search warrant. I look at him as not doing much more than ministerial tasks at the direction of the supervisors.
The Inspector General report actually supports a finding that he, in fact, was fairly high up in the chain of command. Now, with respect
he was a supervising agent, is that right?
He was a supervising special agent. The quotes in the Inspector General report state he was known to be an experienced and aggressive agent. He had 4 agents working under him just on this. He was picked to be on this mid-year, investigative team, which was investigating a presidential candidate in 2016 and then again at the end of 2016.
How many agents under him?
He had at
it
least
sounds like
four
it's
agents.
Bigger than the Fairbanks FBI office and smaller than the Anchorage FBI office, which is pretty small potatoes.
That was just on this team. He was deemed one of the lead investigators on this mid-year team. He was intimately involved in the.
It sounds like your argument is, besides that, he was thought well of, and he supervised a few people. that they really didn't expect to find anything on Anthony Weiner's laptop. But don't searches properly go forward all the time where the police of all kinds of police agencies are not very optimistic about finding anything, but there might be something?
Well, but here there was no probable cause. There was no probable cause to believe that the information that the government was seeking, which was, as stated in the report and elsewhere, the government was seeking not the classified emails that are set forth in the search warrant application. What the government was seeking were the emails from the first 3 months of Hillary Clinton's tenure at the State Department. Director Comey called these the missing emails, the golden emails. But it's telling that those early emails were nowhere mentioned in the investigative, in the search warrant application. And the reason is because they knew, the government knew, they didn't have probable cause to find those emails. So it was a pretextual search warrant. And the inspector general concluded that the evidence that there was going to be criminal activity or these early emails on there was very overestimated. And here we have, if you compare the search warrant application to the statement.
I'm not getting the lack of probable cause. I mean, we've got missing emails. We've got somebody with a private laptop whose wife is Hillary's right-hand person. I don't get the absence of probable cause.
Let me explain, Your Honor. There was a mid-year investigation against Hillary Clinton regarding her emails. It was considered a... This was prior to the Anthony Weiner laptop discovery. That was considered a containment investigation, a cleanup of a spill, basically. There was not reason to believe in the end that there was...
I just lost the sound. Now it's back, I think. Could you say something again?
Sure. First investigation... Can you hear me, Your Honor?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay. The first investigation of Hillary Clinton related to was considered a spill cleanup, a containment, and that investigation ended in July, and the director concluded that there was no evidence of a crime. And during that investigation, the team decided that they weren't going to go outside of Hillary Clinton's private server and seek emails and devices from her aides or anyone else. That had been decided early on in July, when this situation came up in September, October of 2016. The team still had no desire to go outside and look at other devices, but they did, and they decided to go after Anthony Weiner's laptop when every witness said they didn't think there was information on there related to those early emails, which the government had decided was the only emails that would be pertinent, even potentially pertinent, to reveal a criminal.
If they had reasonable cause to believe that the early emails were on the laptop, would that have been sufficient probable cause to justify the warrant in your view?
If they had had probable cause to believe those early emails were on there?
Yes.
That would be a different situation. That would be different.
So why didn't they have probable cause to believe that the emails from the entire period would have been on that laptop?
The New York office agents had a search warrant for Anthony Weiner's laptop. They were not allowed by that search warrant to look at the content of the emails. And so they were looking at the headers of the emails and the dates. There was no way for them to reveal to the government that they had a basis to believe that there were emails on there between Huma Abedin and Hillary Clinton in the early months of Hillary Clinton's tenure at the State Department. And there's no evidence to suggest that those emails are on there.
How long did Ms. Abedin worked for Hillary Clinton?
Excuse me?
How long had Ms. Abedin worked for Hillary Clinton?
She had worked for her during her tenure at the State Department as Secretary of State.
So why is there no probable cause to believe that early emails wouldn't have been on that laptop?
Well, but for probable cause, you must have evidence that a reason to believe that there would be, and there was no reason to believe that those emails would be on there, and
was there reason to believe that there would be some emails on there?
There was reason to believe there were emails between the two of them, but there was no reason to believe that those emails would have been any different than the emails that the mid-year investigative team spent the year reviewing. There was no reason to believe there would be anything different found on that computer. And if we look...
There would have been emails possibly containing classified material, but there was no reason to believe that there would be any emails other than what the investigators already had. Is that your view?
That is one point, yes, that there's no reason to believe there'd be emails other than what they already had looked at, and there's no reason to believe that there would have been emails from the early period of time that didn't exist on the Clinton server that they previously looked at.
So that's my question. Do you want to come back to that? Why wouldn't there be some reason to believe that the early emails would be there, because this is an email laptop that contained the email communications between Secretary Clinton and Ms. Abedin throughout the entire period?
Well, they don't know that Anthony Weiner's laptop contained all of those emails. They know that there were a lot of emails on there. They didn't get a number of how many emails would have been between Huma Abedin and Hillary Clinton. And there was no reason to believe that the platform...
Of course, we don't need certainty for probable cause. All we need, of course, is the phrase probable cause. But even if there were not probable cause, and we look at warrants all the time, and most of the time there's probable cause, and sometimes there's not. But I'm not sure you get over the hump of wrongdoing by the individual FBI officer whose identity you are seeking.
Well, in this case, Your Honor, the agents themselves and the witnesses in the investigative report unanimously stated that they didn't believe they were going to find anything different on this computer. They didn't believe they were going to find evidence of a crime. And that is quite telling as far as the probable cause. And in this case, we have to show that it is. That this investigated.
I don't really see the point of that argument. I mean, it's like somebody telling you, "Oh, it's not worth going fishing in that lake. There, you won't catch any fish." Well, they're pessimistic, and maybe they have reason to be, but it sure is a real possibility. And a reasonable person would think that it was pretty possible, and that's all you need for a search warrant.
Respectfully, it was a fishing expedition. I think you kind of hit it there. That it was a fishing expedition, and they didn't have
the search warrants typically are. All you need is probable cause, and the reason for it doesn't have to amount to very much. An enormous number of computers and hard drives are seized every day, just on that basis.
If I can touch on the before I run out of my time, I wanted to touch on the public interest here.
Okay.
And also focusing on the Favish case, which Your Honors relates to what you're referring to. And the Favish case shows you only have to show as a FOIA requester that this person might have been engaged in official misconduct. And here, this supervisory special agent had the opportunity to object to this warrant. Peter Strzok came to the lead agent, who was this agent's supervisor, came to his team and to this agent and said, "Am I off base here?" He wanted to know if he had enough. Should they seek the search warrant? That was the opportunity for this agent to object or seek more information.
Counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is it your argument that failure to object equated to misconduct?
Well, failure to object and then to proceed to sign a search warrant affidavit and application when there wasn't probable cause would be the misconduct.
Is it your position that any time there's not probable cause, the person who signs the affidavit engages in misconduct? Is that your argument?
No, Your Honor, but where it's evident, when there's overwhelming evidence that there isn't probable cause and there isn't a reason to believe that the information you're seeking is going to lead to the evidence of a crime, they didn't seek these early emails. They never put in the affidavit or the application they were seeking these first 3 months of emails. Why didn't this agent tell the court that that's what he was seeking on behalf of the government? That was hidden. That was misleading to the court to say they were only wanted to look at the classified emails. That's not what the government...
Counsel, is there any evidence in the record that if this particular agent had objected...
You are the only participant.
Oh, I think we lost Judge Fletcher. There he is. Is there any? I was asking.
I just got dropped out. I think I'm back now. Okay.
I was asking if there is any evidence in the record that if this particular agent had objected, that the outcome would have been different regarding the search warrant proceedings.
That would be a question we would want to ask this agent. We don't know. I mean, we don't know the name of this agent. The public hasn't had an opportunity to engage and find out all of the information regarding this search warrant that was of paramount significance on the eve of the election.
But don't our cases say that it's not sufficient justification to want to question the person whose identity is being sought? That's not a sufficient justification to get the name of the person.
Well, in this case, when the evidence shows that a reasonable person could believe that there might have been misconduct by the government official, in fact, that's when you look at the public interest. And then if the public interest outweighs the personal privacy interest, which we would suggest it does here, then the Section 7C, the privacy is disclosure, is warranted. And that's what Favish holds. And here, this government agent...
That's what Favish holds? I thought it held pretty close to the opposite.
No, Favish says
that there's a very strong interest in the object of the FOIA request's name being kept secret, so he won't be bothered by reporters and other people asking him questions. And it might not sound right to all of us, but that's the Supreme Court talking.
Well, and Favish and the Supreme Court set forth a standard. And to say that the Section 7C privacy statement is not all-encompassing, and it's limited. And the way it's limited is when a FOIA requester is able to show that the agent at issue might have engaged in official misconduct. And that, we believe we have showed. If this agent knew or should have known that there was no basis for this search warrant to find the early emails, then that would lead to misconduct. And in this case...
Oh, I guess we're just talking about what is holding. The holding is that there wasn't a good enough justification to get the name.
In that case,
discussion of the holding, they say, but maybe in another case there would be. And you're saying the but maybe statement is the holding.
Well, this is the case we believe Favish is talking about, where a government employee engages in significant wrongdoing in seeking a pretextual search warrant in a matter of paramount interest to the government.
They say it requires a meaningful evidentiary showing to overcome the presumption of regularity at pages 174 and 175.
Yes, and we believe that
having trouble with seeing a meaningful evidentiary showing by your side of the case as opposed to speculation.
I believe a review of the Inspector General report will show you, particularly around pages 280, 286 of the excerpts of record, that there is many statements by witnesses that they did not believe they were going to find evidence of a crime. In fact,
that doesn't amount to a meaning to what the Supreme Court called meaningful evidence. It's their speculation. There won't be evidence of a crime, and other people might think there would be.
Respectfully, these are the people that were on the team, the investigative team that were deciding whether to pursue a search warrant. And these agents made the statements to the Inspector General that they didn't believe it was going to lead to evidence of a crime. In fact, the FBI attorney, Lisa Page, she was texting shortly before this search warrant was
so
obtained.
So you're saying that any FBI agent who asks for a search warrant is a wrongdoer if other people in the office are saying, nah, nothing to see here.
No, what I'm saying is if the entire team, and particularly if the agent and the one who's submitting the affidavit and the application does not believe there's probable cause and there's no evidence to show there's a reason to believe you're going to find the information that you're seeking, and it's not even in the search warrant, the information you're seeking, then I believe, yes, that agent should be held accountable, and that's a ramification of misconduct. Is a disclosure of that agent's name. And what FOIA is intended to do, and Favish talked about this, FOIA is pro-disclosure, and it's a check on the government. It allows a citizen to know what the government is up to, the citizens to know, and it requires that those that govern are accountable to the governed.
Okay. We're now getting perilously close to the 30 minutes that I initially said was your argument. We've taken you well over. We'll hear from the government, but we will give you a chance to respond.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Government attorney? Do we have the government attorney on the line?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I am here. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
we can. Yeah. And were you able Excellent. To hear the argument of your adversary?
I was, Your Honor, yes.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Joseph Busa. I'm here on behalf of the FBI as appellee. Now, the key ground on which this appeal can be resolved is the recognition that merely knowing the name of this lower-level FBI agent would not add to the public's understanding of the basis on which this warrant was sought or the decision to seek it. And for that reason, we urge this court to affirm. I don't have an interest in repeating the arguments we had in our brief, and it sounds like this court has the case well in hand from the earlier colloquies. I am, however, happy to address any questions Your Honors might have.
Well, it seems to me that you slightly overstated the matter. If this were civil discovery under Rule 26, there'd be no question but what this would be discoverable information in the sense of potentially relevant to the case. It may or may not produce information that the other side is hoping. So I'm not sure it quite as irrelevant as you seem to think it is, but there's a slightly different standard in FOIA.
Well, there is a different standard in FOIA, Your Honor, and I think the key issue here is to recognize if the plaintiff wants to criticize the basis on which the warrant was sought, the government has already released the entire content of the warrant application and the affidavit. If the plaintiff wants to criticize the decision to seek that warrant and the decision to seek it on the basis on which it was sought.
I think this is beside the point, what you're saying now. What they want is the name. As you say, they've already got the words. They want the name. And the way a name would be useful, I think Judge Fletcher's point about discovery in an ordinary civil suit is really critical. What they want the name for, the first thing they do probably is Google it and find out if that individual was somebody who ought to be trusted, if it were an extreme partisan, if the individual had expressed nutball views on Facebook or something, and then they'd want to depose the individual. That's the way an ordinary civil suit would go. Frankly, before the Supreme Court ruled in Favish, I might have expected FOIA to go the same way, but they did rule in Favish. And so now we're supposed to do this balancing of the public interest in the name, which is basically finding out if the guy is the sort of person who would do something bad and if the FBI did something bad, and balance that against the interest in that individual being hounded by reporters and lawyers and neighbors and whoever that the Supreme Court said in Favish he should be protected from. So just speak to that, would you?
I'd be happy to, Your Honor. I think this court's precedents in Lahr and Forest Service help expound on the principles established in Favish, and they explain that in a situation like this where you have a lower-level frontline supervisor, somebody whose day-to-day activities are just going out and doing the job of the FBI, that in order to violate that person's privacy and spread that person's name all over the internet and subject them to the kind of harassment we all know would be coming, the requester has to come forward with a meaningful evidentiary showing that
why isn't it enough that the Inspector General's report says you won't find anything there, and they didn't expect to find anything there?
Oh, Your Honor, I believe that's just conflating a discretionary charging decision with the underlying requirement of probable cause. So there are statements in the Inspector General's report to the effect that, look, in July 2016, when the government declined to prosecute, people thought there were reasons, good reasons, to decline to prosecute. But, of course, whether or not there's probable cause to search is unrelated to the government's discretionary charging decisions. And here, it is undisputed that there was probable cause to search all of the emails between Secretary Clinton and Ms. Abedin on that laptop for classified information. And that authorization to search for all of those emails would, of course, include early period emails. There is no requirement to specify a particular investigative interest in a warrant application, nor is there a requirement to specify how what information might be found could affect a discretionary charging decision. That's simply not part of the warrant requirement. What we have here is a lower level FBI agent who signed an affidavit as a fact witness, attesting to the truth of everything in the application. Plaintiff does not allege that anything in the application was untruthful. If plaintiff wants to criticize the decision to seek this warrant, plaintiff knows where to go. That decision was made by the then director of the FBI. If plaintiff wants to criticize the government's decision to seek the warrant on the basis on which it was sought, plaintiff also knows where to go. The Inspector General's report says that that decision was made among a team of lawyers from the DOJ and the FBI, including the then general counsel of the FBI and the lead agent, but not the agent at issue here. The Inspector General's report does not describe him taking any role in the drafting of the warrant or the decision on the basis on which it would be sought. So for that reason, we say releasing this person's name would not contribute to the public understanding of what went on here. All it would do would allow this plaintiff and others to contact the person and subject him to the very harassment that LAR and Forest Service say Exemption 7C is designed to protect against. The entire point of Exemption 7C in this context is to ensure that FBI agents, lower-level frontline people, when they're assigned to a very controversial matter, we need to give them the confidence that if they do their job, they will not be automatically subject to the kind of public harassment that would come if this person's name were to be publicly released.
Okay.
If there are no further questions. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
And I was just asking if there are further questions from the bench.
No.
No, I think not. Thank you very much. And
thank you, Your Honor.
We'll now hear rebuttal. You'd ask for 5 minutes. Why don't we put 3 minutes on the clock and see what happens?
Thank you, Your Honors. 3 points I'd like to make. Number one, this was not a low-level agent as described just now, Your Honors. This was a lead field agent in a high-profile case. He was leading this group, particularly on
the campaign. I've looked at the organization chart. He's pretty far down, and he supervises 4 people.
Well, that organization chart is only with regard to this investigative team. That's not the org chart for the FBI. He's much higher on the organization chart of the FBI. That's just for this team. But in any event, he had a significant role in this, and he wasn't a clerical worker. He was a lead field agent on this case, and he was integrally involved in the decisions that were made. The lead agent came to him asking if they should proceed with the search warrant. The second point I want to make is Huma Abedin voluntarily produced all of her emails with Hillary Clinton during the first investigation. So there was even less reason to believe there was going to be anything that the government hadn't seen on this laptop.
Well, wait a minute. Somebody says, and this is not a charge against or an accusation against Ms. Abedin. This is a sort of generic statement. Somebody says, I've given you everything. A government agent who believes that doesn't belong in the FBI. That is to say, I'd like to check to see whether you've given me everything.
Well, and the point, Your Honor, in the first investigation, this same investigative team decided that was sufficient. They did not ask, they didn't seek any additional devices or emails from Huma Abedin in any formal way. They agreed to the voluntary production of the devices and emails on that point. And with regard to the LAR and the Forest Service cases, those cases didn't involve accusations of official misconduct as we have here.
There was misconduct alleged in both of them, particularly in the Forest Service case. We had 2 people who died
as
a result of allegedly improper behavior.
true, but in the Forest Service's case, the 22 employees that were at issue as far as seeking information, personal information regarding those employees, they were not accused of official wrongdoing. In fact, six of those employees were disciplined, but the court noted they were not disciplined for official misconduct. So that issue really wasn't, that wasn't an issue in that case. And in the Lair case, those FBI agents, the FBI agents, again, there was no indication that they were alleged to have engaged in misconduct. And in fact, the FOIA requester in that case was seeking information about other agents and trying to get it through those agents. They're very different cases than we have.
Now, you were unsuccessful in persuading the district judge. Do we review the district judge's order de novo in this case?
Did I review the, excuse me, I couldn't hear the last part.
The district judge ruled against you. Do we review the district judge's order de novo?
We do, and I can explain why, Your Honor.
I think that's right. I don't need the explanation.
Okay. Apply the erroneous standard.
Okay. Anything further? One last sentence to wrap up.
I think a close look at the Inspector General report shows that there was absolutely no reason to believe that there was going to be any emails on this laptop other than the ones the government had already seen. The government made a decision not to pursue it further. The supervisory agent has to take responsibility for supplying and signing this affidavit and search warrant. And the public is entitled to know everything that happened with regard to this pretextual search warrant that led to no evidence of a crime on the eve of a presidential election for a presidential candidate.
Okay, thank you very much. That was a long sentence joined, independent clauses joined by semicolons.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate
thank
your time.
Thank both sides for arguments. The case of Schoenberg versus FBI now submitted for decision.